Welcome to a moment of fantasy. Wait, that didn't sound right. Välkommen till en fantasystund. Avsnitt 35. Ah, much better. Today I'm going to be reading from a book in English. And why, you might ask? Well, because I like trying new things. That's why. I'm going to read a book called The Fabulous Destiny of Guthurion, and it's written by Elias L.E. Genvald, and that's Swedish. So, this is the first time I'm going to be reading in English, so let's see how it goes. Probably it's going to be some mispronunciations here and there, but hey, I'm Swedish. What did you expect? Let's give it a go. Prologue. Guthurion is unlike any orc I have ever met. Not that I ever met an actual orc, nor do I know what goes on in their tiny excuse for a brain, relatively. But you will begin to understand, as you read on, into the deep forest of my elaborated thoughts, that I have seen plenty of them on screen. I mean, who has not? I will now continue where I left off, somewhere in my thoughty forest. Well, we have to understand that I do not know the way back to where my thoughts plunge themselves into the darkness of my bottomless pit so wondrous. But unlike a man trying to steal a flag, it would be so much easier if I just took it from the top. Guthurion is unlike any orc I ever met. Proof of this can be found in the way that he is, which also gives an approximate description of the hero of this story, who you are now going to spend hours reading about. This is where I will begin to guide you through the fabulous destiny of Guthurion. First of all, he's not really an orc, but an elf. I do know a lot more about elves, but even worse, for me at least, he's not really an elf, but an orc. Now, this may confuse you, but do not despair, for the explanation of this weird twist of events is waiting just around the corner. Or I could just explain it now, before you turn the corner, where terrible things are happening, as we all know. He is, of course, an elf. But besides being an elf, he is also an orc. He is also neither truly elf nor orc, but an erk, the first of his kind. As you might have guessed, Guthurion is actually half-orc and half-elf. I could have said that from the beginning and spared us all much time, but where's the fun in that? His elven mother, Aethera, fell in love with the fierce hero of Hugur village, the once-lice orc. Yes, he was known by many names, Vugtor being the most common, and sweetmeats only by his dear mother. Aethera moved away from the elven city of Imkar, mostly because the long-standing feud between the elves and practically everyone, orcs very much included. She instead moved in with Vugtor and lived there in harmony with the other orcs. After a couple of years, Aethera became pregnant. But the boss of Hugur village became furious because he did not want the pure orc bloodline to be spoiled. But then he died, and everyone agreed that it was a good thing. As Guthurion was born, the people of the village learned to like the semi-orc, and he were therefore accepted and raised as a true orc. This is why he's called an orc and not elf. Anyhow, the fact that he is half-elf is, shockingly enough, the root to that he is unlike any other orc I have ever met or not met. Secondly of all, or first again, depending on how you count, he has an incredible mind. You could say that his excuse for a brain is an excuse I would very much like to put in my pocket and present to all as I again get blamed for eating all the fudge. He has the smarts of the elves, but his conclusions and solutions... Hey, that rhymed. conclusions, solutions. Da-dum-dum-dum-dum. Well, that was quite fun, but that is not what we are here for, mostly. As I was saying, his conclusions and solutions always seem to involve violence. And even worse, he laid his plans down so that everybody thought that it was the best solution, because it often was. This, of course, was not always a bad thing, as he gets a lot of things done. Actually, he's probably the most productive orc ever lived, maybe. The most outstanding feature of this man is probably the fact that he is handsome. This, as anyone who has seen an orc knows, it's not that common. Actually, there has not been a handsome orc since Hordogwolf the Scrumptious, and he owned a cosmetic empire. This has, of course, made him very popular with the ladies. And I'm not just talking about the orc girls, but also with elves, gnars, jigs, and for some reason, rocks. He actually dated a rock once until he tripped, smashing his knee on her. The humans, on the other hand, do not find him that good-looking due to his skin color, which has a nice bluish-green luster. But the humans are as the humans are. Despite his popularity with the aforementioned ladies, he had never been able to settle down with someone. Mostly this is caused by his adventurous occupation, and by extension because of his rule, but more on that later in the story. Even more wondrous in his handsomeness, if you add the fact that his elven mother was not what the elves would call beautiful. And I do not think that I need to add that his father was not such a beauty either. Then again, to Vogtor, Etheria was the most beautiful woman he had ever met. So what do the elves know? So to sum it up, Guthuriwan is unlike any orc I have ever met. But as I have already said, I have never met any. So if you have, you should probably just make your own image of him. Either elfish, orcish, or maybe a little rockish. Now, that is enough of the introductions. I now will begin to tell you about the wondrous, great, and most of all, the fabulous destiny of Guthuriwan. Chapter 1. The First Steps. Vogtor's boot buried itself deep in Guthuriwan's chest, like he was trying to hug a massive piston. I would not recommend trying to that unless you really love pistons, and even then, it would not be a healthy relationship. He found himself on the ground in time he hardly realized had passed. His father was pacing a few feet away, waiting for him to get up. His chest ached. His breath felt lost to him, but there was no point in dwelling on it. He needed to keep going. In 1 year's time, he would face those not merciful enough to wait for him to get up. In 1 year, he would be 11, ready to adventure as his father had before him. He found his breath and rose. Vogthor's hand found itself around the back of Guthuriwan's head. A wide kick had left him exposed. But what was worse was that he had seen it coming. He could have stopped it, had he been quicker. Down in the mud. "You're dead, Guthuriwan." His father removed his hand and stepped back. He hated that Vogthor had stepped back, as if his father knew what he was about to do. No reason to do it now. Only 10, so young, he perished fighting one more skilled than himself. Guthuriwan felt his anger swell within him. He had been told not to get angry, but this time he had been enough. With all his might, with no thoughts on anything but his enemy, Guthuriwan launched himself from the ground and directly towards his father. He felt like he had never moved as fast as he did at that moment. He could see on his father's expression that he did not expect it. Guthuriwan made a fist and drove it forward with all his might. By the time it would have hit, Wagthor had quickly moved it to the side. As Guthurriwan moved past his father in rage, Vugthor kicked one of his legs out from under him. As he arched his body backwards, Vugthor grabbed a leg and whirled it around, Guthurriwan following his leg as he had always done. Guthurriwan landed far away, sliding on the mud that yesterday's rain had created. He wanted to get right up and attack his father again, but his otherwise faithful legs failed him. "There's a risk to getting angry, Guthurriwan." Wagthor was slowly walking up to his son. Guthurriwan gave up and laid back down, trying to calm himself down. "You leave yourself too open." "I almost got you," was all Guthurriwan could manage to say between breathing. He could hear his father's footsteps in the mud getting closer. He tried not to breathe too hard as his chest still hurt. "But you didn't. Now you lie. Ready for me to get a final blow in on you." He was standing beside Guthurriwan now. "Now, why do we not lash out in anger?" Guthurriwan wanted nothing more than to reach out his hand and drag his father's leg away. But he knew his father had ending his training for today. There was nothing to be learned from it. He exhaled heavily. "We do not lash out in anger because anger is our nature. Anger is violence. Orcs are violent. So we fight not to be." The words he knew by heart. The words he had heard since the first time he has gotten angry, and every time since then. He hated them, because he knew them to be true. Still, he got angry, and he could seemingly do nothing about it. Anger needs direction, like a fire needs a furnace. Vagthor could see a shamed expression on his son. He exhaled heavily and held his hand down to him. "Let's go home for today." Guthurriwan took the hand, and his father hoisted him up onto his back. He wrapped his hands around Vogthor's neck as his father had his hands under Guthurriwan. Vogthor's slightly arched back was easy to hold on to, safe. He laid his head on his father's shoulder as they headed back home. There were few things as unappetizing as the meals of the orc. It was not that they could not appreciate a good meal as they ventured out into the swamp of ore in droves to take part in the meals served at the meat wagon. But there was a certain way of looking at food among the orcs as nothing more than sustenance. So they ate roots, frogs and bugs, the occasional thing that looked a bit like a vegetable. Sometimes even sludge that they had found in the swamp, for its rich minerals. It made a great base for a sauce, in their opinion. In contrast, the elves had always ravished in exploring the richness of spice, the properties of different parts of the animal, that butter makes everything better. They are not picky, but they believe that a meal should be enjoyed as well as eaten. A wave of flavor hit Vogthor's and son as he swung the door to their home open. The smell of a few chicken breasts simmering in a stew of milk and a yellow mix of spices along with roots from the garden, carrot and potato. There was something sweet about it as well, and something invigorating. They could not hinder themselves to stop and take it in.
"No, no, outside, gentlemen," said a light voice, as Etheria walked briskly out from the kitchen. "Take our muddy son and wash him off outside. I will not have either of you inside my house like this, you know that."
Etheria was frowning, making it hard to look at her. She was never what the elves referred to as ideal. Her posture was off. Her fingers were too thin. She was a bit too tall. Her nose was too long, her jaw too sharp, her teeth a bit crooked.
The elves found things like that important. Because of that, she was not accepted. Not liked despite her other beautiful qualities. That is, until a terribly ugly adventurer did not care.
Yes, of course. Sorry, dear, muttered Vagthor, as Githurion slid onto the floor and ran out of the house again.
Etheria smiled a sweet smile at her husband. You can use a bit of washing off, too. She watched Vagthor smile back and walk out the door to her son. A short distance from the house was a small gathering of water. It came from the mountains behind them and fell down into a bowl. From there it continued down towards the swamp. Githurion slowly made his way there and got into the cold mountain water. His body still ached from the training. His anger has been replaced with disappointment. He felt he could not do this. He was not sure he ever would be able to. He scrubbed his head, feeling the scruff of what's left of his hair. His father had shaved it off when his training began, and now starts every 5 days by shaving it off again. He missed his hair, and knew that the first thing he was going to do when he left the village in barely a year's time was to save it out again. His father slid into the water as well, dipping his uneven face and scrubbing it. Sometimes Githurion found it weird that his father looked this different to him. They seemed to share no features except the green color of their skin. Even there, Githurion was lighter than his father. He had once asked him if he would look like him when he got older, but Vagthor had only laughed and told him that he hoped not. As Vagthor took off his shirt, Githurion could see all the scars his father had collected throughout his adventuring days. The most eye-catching of them, a burn wound that covered most of his shoulder. The story is one Githurion had heard many times before, about when his father had fought massive loges deep within the dwarven ruins overseas in the continent of Batlon. One had caught them off guard and managed to spit hot lava over him. Vagthor had survived by throwing his armor off as quickly as he could, as his friends made quick work of the beast. Still, the burn had nearly made him pass out, but he gritted his teeth, and they had continued to find whatever it was that they were going to find. That part varied every time Githurion heard him tell it. From dwarven treasure to a missing child. One time, he said he had found a lost dwarven civilization, with living dwarves that seemed to have survived where the rest of the race had perished, but none seemed to believe that one. He had a story for every scar, often involving heroism where Vagthor and his friends had defeated evil despite the odds being against them. The scars made Githurion feel uneasy. He knew that situations like that was beyond his own skills. He sat still, looking at his father, as Vagthor washed himself and his clothes. Suddenly he stopped and looked at Githurion. "What's the matter, son? If you don't clean yourself up, you can't come in and eat." Githurion looked down at the water, away from his father's eyes. It had started to turn brown, oozing from his clothes. He half-heartedly started to scrub his arms. They still ached. Vagthor made his way over to Githurion and sat down. Githurion could only see his head sticking out of the murky water, his tusks sticking out of his lower jaw. "There's something the matter with you," said Vagthor and looked at his son. "You can't be disappointed that it did not go as you wanted it today. We train to learn, so that you will be ready when you decide to leave."
"What if I can't do it? I don't feel like I've gotten better since we started. I've never even hit you. What if I never get better?"
"You will continue to feel like that, if you only look at how close you are to beating me. You will never beat me this year. I have 30 years on you, kid, and have fought terrible beasts and terrible people alike.
I always had to be better. And so as you learn, I will keep making sure that you always have someone who is better than you to fight with, so that you always learn. Guthurwan looked at his father, a bit confused, trying to piece together what he was saying. Vagthor smiled at his son. I have already had to step it up, because you have improved. You're getting quicker, both in your muscle and eye. You're hitting harder and more precise.
How can you tell if I haven't even been able to hit you?
Vagthor smiled a crooked smile. I can tell by looking, and by how much I have to work to keep up. Vagthor's words seemed to comfort Guthurwan a little, but deep down he was still worried. The enemies he would meet on his journey would not show mercy. But he somehow still trusted his father's words. He had improved. He had to have improved. Guthurwan dipped his head into the cold water and scrubbed. He could feel his whole body aching as he moved around in the water, scrubbing clean both body and mind. He floated motionless in the water for a few seconds, enough to find peace within himself. Guthurwan felt no real need to tell his mother about today's session. She conversed with his father instead. It hurt, raising his wooden spoon to his mouth, a good hurt that made the world around him seem better in many ways. The house somehow looked better, more inviting, and the food smelled amazing, tasted even better, and warmed his body on its way down. He looked longingly at the sword hanging on the wall, the sword of Vagthor, a wide, thin, great sword more than 5 feet long. One day he would have a sword like that. When he was done, he no longer felt that his body could stay awake.
Thank you for the food,
he said, and started to walk up the stairs to find his bed.
You're welcome,
said Etheria, while throwing a concerned look his way. Training, bath and food really takes all the energy out of one for some reason. Guthurwan barely had time to lay his head down on his pillow before sleep took hold of him. His dreams were more like internal thoughts of a worried but determined boy. At its deepest, they play scenarios of him coming unprepared to fights he could not win. The enemies taunting him, playing with him as they planned how they were going to kill him.
I need to be stronger.
The thought became a mantra through his dreams. As his enemies lost focus, he would break through. Guthurwan opened his eyes. He could still feel his entire body ache. He smiled a bit and flexed his body, feeling the ache even more. It felt great. The sun had gone down. He still wanted to sleep. He needed it for tomorrow's training. As the quiet around him became more apparent, he became aware of voices from downstairs. Silently, Guthurwan got on his feet and started to inch his way towards the stairs. As he did, he started to make out what the voices were saying.
You can't train him tomorrow when it's like this, hissed the unmistaken voice of Etheria. It seems just moments from breaking. I won't have you breaking our only son.
I don't want him to die out there. Not when he seems set on following in my footsteps, answered the low voice of Vagthor. I survived because I was well prepared, and even then I had more than a few close calls. I don't want to find out that he died somewhere because he took something on that he could not overcome. I mean, you know how he is. Guthurwan crouched down on the stairs, getting a better glimpse of their arguing parents.
I get it. I don't want him to die out there either, but there has to be a better way to prepare him than to kick him around until he can barely stand.
Etheria was not taking her eyes off her husband for 1 second.
The only thing he'll gain from this is resentment for you.
I'm fine with that, if that means that he will survive.
Well, I'm not,
exclaimed Etheria, louder than she had intended. As she did, Guthurwan felt himself shift, and the wood under him creak. Both of his parents turned their eyes over at where their son was sitting. Etheria composed herself, shooting a look at Vagthor before walking over to the stairs and starting to walk up them. Guthurawan stood up and met the kind eyes of his mother.
"You still look tired, dear. You should sleep just a little while more," she said while driving Guthurawan upwards to his room again.
Guthurawan said nothing as he slowly made his way to his room. He wanted to say something, but it was like a stone had been wrapped around the words in his throat. As they approached his bed, he finally turned around and spoke to his mother.
"I want to train more. I need to train more."
His tired eyes were struggling to keep themselves locked on his mother. Etheria sat down on the straw-filled mattress.
"Are you sure?"
Guthurawan was still standing up.
"I need to be stronger. I won't keep you from training, and your father and I will make sure that you are ready for what awaits you out there when you leave."
She grabbed Guthurawan's hand and suggested he sit down. He did, feeling his body ache again.
"Dear, we will protect you in any way we can. Your mother is just a little worried that you will end up hurting yourself." "I won't."
Guthurawan was trying to be confident, but his body was seemingly failing him. He just wanted to lie down again. Etheria smiled and laid her son down, covering him with the bearskin.
"Sleep tight, my little warrior. You have training in the morning."
And so he did. Guthurawan woke up to the sound of birds outside his window. He lay awake, his eyes closed, listening to their song, knowing full well that his father soon would wake him up for this day's training. As he enjoyed a few moments of peace, he felt something, a presence. He opened his eyes to find his father's face only inches away from his own. Guthurawan let out a shriek like that of a cook finding rats in the mice pie.
"Good morning, son. Time for your training."
The scarred face of Vagthor smiled slightly and straightened his back again. Guthurawan calmed down. He could feel his body still aching, but got to his feet anyway, clothing himself in his pelts, hoping that he'd be able to get a hit in on the source of this rude awakening today.
"You won't need that today," exclaimed Vagthor as Guthurawan reached for his training sword.
Guthurawan stared at his father.
"Why?"
"Last night revealed some things about your training that I had not thought about when I started training you. Therefore, your schedule has changed."
"But I need to get stronger," muttered Guthurawan,
stretching his body out and returning blood to his muscles as a yawn escaped his mouth.
"True, but not just when it comes to the way you are fighting. Yesterday's excursion onto the stairs made me realize."
His father paused for effect, the dramatic, self-important person he was, and smiled.
"That your sneaking skills are terrible."
Guthurawan gave him a slightly annoyed look. "So, you will train as we have for the last month, every other day. The rest of the days will be spent learning other skills that you will need to survive and help people as an adventurer. Sneaking, scouting, even diplomacy, which your mother knows more about than me, so she'll help with that."
Guthurawan did not like it.
He would not be able to survive by talking to a monster. Monsters were to be slain, nothing else. And I think this is a fitting place to stop today's episode, about halfway in the first chapter. So this was really fun. What did you think? Do you want me to keep reading from this book? More stuff in English? Please let me know your thoughts. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much to the author, Elias L.E. Jenvald. If you want to check him out at Instagram, he is author Legenvald. The handle is also written in the description of this episode. So that was all that I had for today. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.